The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I invite the children to come forward for children's time. Good morning. Come on up to the seat. We got some weird stuff. How are y'all this morning? Okay. Have y'all ever had the electricity go out at your house? Does it get dark? Do you have anything else in your house that might help bring light besides turning on the light switch? A flashlight. Okay. So you might have a flashlight, and that helps us see what it gets really bright. But a flashlight will help us see, won't it? Right.
And a lantern.
Yes. Well, I've brought kind of, I consider it an old lantern.
Whoa.
Yes. And it has a little, what we call a chimney on it. I probably can't get that back in there. And that's probably what your maybe great-grandma and great-grandpa or great-great-grandma and grandpa, that's the only kind of light they had, and they filled it with oil. And then they had a wick in it, and they lit it, and then it furnished light, okay? But today, most of us for sure have a flashlight in our house. And what do we need for this flashlight to work?
Battery.
So if I don't have any batteries in here, it won't work, will it? Well, this is the flashlight that stays by my bed. I know where it is. So I keep this one ready. I'm prepared for when the lights go out, because I can use my flashlight, okay? Now, in the gospel lesson that we just heard, I'm going to kind of retell it, just in case y'all were sleeping, okay? But I'm going to use a flashlight, okay? So we have 10 bridesmaids, okay? And they all have a flashlight. And they're going to wait for the bridegroom to come. But they don't know when he's coming. So they all get their flashlights, and they go outside, and they all put their flashlights on, and they're just sitting there, okay, he hadn't come. When's he coming? Is he here yet? Sadie, have you seen him? I don't see him. So, you know, they get tired of waiting, and they leave their flashlights on, and they all decide they're going to take a nap. Well, let's just lay down and wait, you know. So everybody takes a nap. Then all of a sudden, Sadie wakes up and says, "Look, the bridegroom's coming. We got to get ready." So everybody gets their flashlight out, and they're going, "Well, my flashlight doesn't work. My batteries ran out. What are we going to do now?" So 5 of the bridesmaids had brought, where am I? they had brought extra batteries so they could put them in their flashlight, and their flashlights worked. But the five bridesmaids that didn't buy any bring any extra batteries, well, they didn't have any. So they had to go back home or go to the store to go get some. But they were too late. The bridegroom was already here. So the five ladies that had their flashlights welcomed the bridegroom. Now, this is a story that Jesus told. And Jesus told a lot of stories in the Bible. And this one is one of the stories that's called a parable. Anybody know what a parable is? Yes, ma'am.
It's a story about something that teaches
something. It teaches us a lesson. So Jesus told this story, and he was trying to teach us a lesson. So what possibly could Jesus be wanting to tell us? Okay, so we have a bridegroom. Can anybody guess who the bridegroom is? Yes, ma'am.
Is it the groom?
No, who is the bridegroom? Who's the bridegroom? Who's the groom in this story? One person. It's a man. If we're thinking about the Bible.
Jesus.
Yes, the bridegroom is Jesus in this story. So then who were the 10 bridesmaids?
Disciples.
Well, they can be disciples, but who else could it be?
Commandments?
No, it's people. The 10 bridesmaids are you, and you, and you, and all these people out here, and me. We are the 10 bridesmaids, and we are waiting for Jesus to come again. Right? Aren't we all waiting for him to come again? We are. That's our whole purpose here. We're waiting for Jesus to come again. So, does that mean that we all need to have a flashlight with batteries? No, I don't think that's what this is getting at. No. It's a good thing to have a flashlight with batteries, but, oop, mine are coming out. Oh, no. Yes, ma'am.
The parable teaches you that you don't know the time and the hour that Jesus will come back.
That's correct. So we need to be ready for Jesus. So how do we get to be ready for Jesus? What do we need to do to be ready for Jesus? Yes, ma'am.
Follow the Ten Commandments and do everything he taught in parables.
Right. But can we follow those Ten Commandments all the time?
No.
No, you're right. No, we get in trouble a lot, don't we? The only really thing that we need to do to be ready for Jesus is to have Jesus in our hearts. He needs to be right here. And how do we get him right here? We need to believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that we can go to heaven because we believe in Jesus and we believe that he died for our sins. And then because we believe that, we come to church, we come to Sunday school, we try to follow the Ten Commandments. Those are all good things. So I want you to just remember that you have Jesus in your heart and you are ready for him today to come. Let's fold our hands and pray. Dear Jesus, we know one day we will get to meet you face to face. Help us get ready for that wonderful day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming up.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the early Christian church, the people were full of the Spirit. Those in that first generation, those first generation Christians, many of them had actually had firsthand experience with Christ himself. Of course, you had the 12 disciples who were with him for 3 years straight. But then you also had many of those others who followed along from time to time with Jesus and many times spent time in his camp or wherever the disciples and he were. Many of the other followers were there as well then too. But think about all the other people's lives he touched who he came in contact with, personal contact with, those that he healed, those that he made well, those that he raised from the dead, and all their families, their friends, those that were neighbors. When Jesus would go into a town and heal somebody, people were usually crowding around. Or several of the healing stories take place in a synagogue. Well, the church would be full of people. And so they had that firsthand of experience of seeing who Jesus actually was. Or you think about the stories of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with the fish and the few loaves of bread. How many lives he touched on that one day in that one instance. Or the Sermon on the Mount that he preached. There were many people that Jesus had firsthand experience with, or people had their firsthand experience with Jesus. And so when the day of Pentecost came, that too was an exceptional part of the beginning of the church. That was the beginning of the church, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and they went out and they taught all those who had come from other countries, and they too heard that word of Christ. 3,000 people were baptized on that day. The early Christian church was on fire because they had that experience, that direct experience with Jesus, our direct experience with those 12 disciples who went out and scattered. And then also Paul, you had the Apostle Paul as well then too, that had the experience of Christ on the road to Damascus, where he too was such a powerful preacher and teacher and leader and example that many people understood that who Christ was. It caught on to their lives and they were full of the Spirit. And then they would go out and tell other people. So the church was booming. And they were waiting for Christ to return. Christ had made the promise when he died, when he rose again. He made that promise that you too will rise, that he will come back. He would come back and that he would take everyone into heaven. And so the people were waiting. They were waiting for Jesus to come back. And they waited, and they waited for days. And then they waited for weeks. And then they waited for years. And life went on. And then some of those first generation people started to die. St. Paul writes this letter to the Thessalonians. And it almost sounds as if the Thessalonians were kind of losing hope. They were wondering, is Jesus coming back? He made the promise that he's coming back, but he's not back. And here, my family members are dying. And they were faithful Christians. They had seen Jesus. They were faithful Christians. And here they're dying. Is Christ coming back? And what's going to happen to these relatives and these friends and other church members who have died? What's going to happen to them? Because Jesus is going to come back and they're going to be dead. So St. Paul writes to the Thessalonians to assure them that even the dead will be raised. Even the dead will be raised. He writes, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." He says, we don't grieve as others grieve because we have no hope. When someone close to us dies, we do grieve because that person has been important to us. It may be a mother or father or a husband, a wife, or even a child or a friend or a neighbor or another family member, someone that you've been close to, a co-worker. We're sad. We're grieved. And it reminds us that at some point, all of us will die. None of us can escape death. The only exception to that is if Christ would come back in our lifetime. So there's a pretty good chance that every single person here will one day die. We don't know the day or the hour. We don't know when or by what cause. But one day we will die. None of us will escape death. And if you stop to think about it, Jesus Christ himself didn't escape death. He too went through death, but through that death then, we were able to see God's plan because he died for us, but that wasn't the end of Jesus. Jesus rose from the dead with new life, and he gives us that promise that we will have new life as well, that we too will rise. And so we have hope. We have hope that whatever we see in this world is not it. This is not the end of things. We have hope that we will have new life and a life with Christ, a life with God. And so we have hope. And so even though we grieve for those who have died because we are sad, we also have hope that they will be raised to a new life in Christ. You know, this is the time of the year that we that's appropriate to talk about these things. You know, this weekend we've had some wonderful rains, but it's been kind of gloomy. It hasn't been real cold, but it's kind of chilly outside. The trees are starting to lose their leaves. Plants are starting to wilt a little bit. And once we do get that first frost, then you will certainly see a lot of the plants not survive. We're going into this winter. We go into a time that life just is not as present as it is in the other seasons of the year. It looks as if things are dead. But we know that's not true. We know that even though we have gloomy days like these, like this weekend we've been having with the rain and the chill in the air, we know that's necessary. We know that's necessary so that the ground receives moisture, so that the earth can take a rest, because we know that in the spring, everything will start blooming again. Everything will start growing again. We know that even though we die, we shall live. That even though we go through these gloomy times, even though we go through the times of darkness, and our days are getting shorter, the nights are getting longer, as we go through these times of darkness within our lives, we know that's not the end of it, because we do know there is a spring. We know there is a new life in Christ. This time of the year, too, we also think about giving thanks to God. You know, we have made it through another year, and we're able to store up to make it through the winters of our lives. We're able we know that through the wintertime, we should have heat, we should have food, we should have shelter, we should have people around us. And so we give thanks, because even though the times change, God still remains with us. God is still constant through all things. And so we give thanks to God. God has given us everything, all the blessings that we need, our home, our families, our friends, work, a place to live. He has given all that to us. But most of all, Christ has given us hope. St. Paul writes here again in 1 Thessalonians, "For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first." We give thanks that God has given us the hope to know that Christ will be coming back. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.